puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, many moons ago, there were a lot of things going on in Manitoba, and no matter where he goes, Gordon Goldsboro of the Manitoba Historical Society always finds something really interesting to tell us about. And Gordon's back this morning with a tale about bricks.
That's right, Terry.
And so what's the story?
Well, the site I'm going to tell you a little bit about today has a connection to places all over the province, and actually many of them here in Winnipeg. But it's a site out west of Winnipeg along the Trans-Canada Highway between Portage-la-Prairie and Brandon.
Okay, and what's on this site?
Well, today, like a lot of the places we've talked about, not a whole lot. In fact, one of the interesting things about this site, when I first drove up to it, I looked around. I could see nothing. I was there at the invitation of the fellow who owned the property, and I said to him, okay, where do we have to walk some distance or something? And he said, no, you're here right amongst it. I go, what? And actually, it turned out the grass was fairly tall, and right amongst us where we were standing was the remains of a brickworks.
But you couldn't see it.
No. In fact, until he pointed things out, I could see nothing. But once he started pointing them out, then it actually became clear there were the foundations of the buildings that had been there at one time. There were chunks of remains of the buildings themselves. But the most interesting thing was literally within just a couple of steps from where I was standing was a fairly large hole in the ground. And he said, oh, just look down the hole. Well, I looked down the hole, and then I actually had to climb down the hole, and I was standing in a tunnel.
Excuse me? Really?
Yeah, there was a tunnel. And it turns out there's quite a few tunnels there, which were part of the facility, that they would actually transport bricks that they were manufacturing from one building to another through these little underground passageways. They had apparently a little sort of a light rail through this little tunnel. So I climbed down into this tunnel. It was mostly filled with rubble, the remains of bricks. So I had to kind of squat down and actually sort of duck walk along the length of this tunnel. And there was a little tunnel. It was sort of a T-shaped intersection. And I could imagine in my mind, you know, these carts full of bricks being wheeled down these little tunnels, from the building where they would press them over to the building where they would fire them.
What was the interior size of the tunnel?
Oh, if I put my arms out either direction, I could probably just about touch the walls on either side.
And could you stand up straight?
No. Say, so I could only probably just squat and duck walk down the tunnel. But no, it was half filled with rubble. So I assume over the time what has happened is that a lot of the debris, the remaining bricks from this facility kind of filled the little tunnel.
So what was the heyday of this place?
Oh, well, it goes back. The history of brick making at this particular site goes back to the turn of the 20th century in 1909. It's one of many sites, I should point out. This is not the only place in Manitoba they made brick, but this is one in particular that they made bricks quite widely for a few years. Started in 1909 by a company called the Sydney Brick and Tile Company. Basically, it was a bunch of English investors that put their money into this facility, and they made bricks there until it's hard to tell for sure, until the late 1920s. So it operated 15 years or so. But after it closed in the late 20s, the owners of the site, a company here in Winnipeg that actually still exists today called Alsop's, they continued to quarry the site.
What for?
Well, see, the main ingredient in making bricks, the thing you need to manufacture a brick, is clay. A clay or shale, which is the kind of rock made from sort of consolidated clay. And there seemed to be a good supply of it right there. In fact, today, now that it's reverted back into a farmer's field, the fellow who, say, toured me the site showed me where they had been excavating the clay. And when you don't know it's there, you kind of just don't see it. But once he points it out, it's very obvious that there's a depression in the land. It's otherwise a flat area. But in this particular spot, there's actually quite a large bowl-shaped depression in the farmer's field, and that's where they were digging this clay. So after the facility closed in the late 20s, they continued to dig the clay, and then they shipped it into Winnipeg, where they did the final processing of it, because the company at one time had a plant here in Winnipeg, as well as the one in Sydney, and they made it in both places. And I guess the economics were such they couldn't sustain both facilities, so they closed the one in Sydney and simply used it as a source for the raw materials.
Now, I have some bricks in my backyard that are actually stamped with Alsop on them.
Precisely.
Can I find find a Sydney brick somewhere?
Well, you might be able to. In fact, that's one of my little challenges. I'm trying to find bricks of various Manitoba sites, and they would often, as you've noticed, stamp them with the name of the brickyard and in what's called the frog. There's sort of a depression in the side of the brick.
Yeah.
And they would list either Alsip, in the case of the Alsip's brick facility, or they would have other words like Verdon, in the case of a brickyard at Verdon, Leary, at the case of a one out west of Carmen. And I so far have not yet found what the stamp is for the Sydney bricks. I know there are, however, bricks all over the place made from there. We know because there are records that say, oh, we sent in a load of bricks for the manufacturer. Well, to give you a few examples, here in Winnipeg, the Minto Armory is made from Sydney brick.
Is it really?
The key is red brick.
It's red. I was wondering about the color.
Well, the color is a function of the chemistry of the clay that you use to make the bricks. And the different colors, different types of clay, also different temperatures as well, depending on how high a temperature you fired these things at. The ones at Sydney were a characteristic red color. They weren't the only red bricks, but they were one of them. And so Minto Armory, over on Arlington, the St. Edward's Roman Catholic Church is made from Sydney bricks. If you've visited the Manitoba Sports Hall of Fame over near the Manitoba Museum, also made from Sydney bricks. So if you see a red brick building, it's a good possibility that it has a link to this little, now sort of innocuous depression in the land by Sydney, Manitoba.
Now, is this privately owned land now?
It is. After the Alsips decided they no longer needed it, this was sort of in the mid-1980s, they sold the site to a local farmer. And gradually, I guess what he did is he kind of worked it. It had been a pit where they had been excavating clay. He kind of worked it so that now the edges of that pit are no longer sort of abrupt. It kind of just runs through. And as I say, if you looked at the site today, I think you would be hard-pressed to know there had ever been a quarry there because it's just sort of a gentle sort of a bowl-shaped depression. But it's considerable size. I mean, it's a fairly large proportion of his field, but it is literally just a farmer's field.
Are you being deliberately vague about where it is because we can't really go and visit it?
Well, in part, yes. The farmer I know when I first made arrangements to go there was a little reluctant because of the fact that there are these holes. And I know, say, when I was standing there, literally a couple of steps from me was this hole. And I think he's just worried about people going there and falling into these holes and maybe hurting themselves. So when he was there, he was quite happy for me to look at the site and, you know, learn about it. But he was also insistent that if anyone wanted to go there, they would have to have permission so that he could make sure they weren't hurt in the process.
Fascinating story, Gordon.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
See you next week. And what are you thinking about for next week?
Well, I'm going to go with a very common prairie icon. And this one is the oldest of its kind.
Okay. Well, can you guess what it'll be? Gordon will be back next week at this time to tell us. Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome, Terry.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
Sorry, did you hear me singing along with that? I always love that little tune. Gordon Goldsborough back next week. To find out more about his stories, head to the web or to Facebook. Manitoba History Society, mhs.mb.ca, is the website for the Manitoba Historical Society. And you can find out more about this story and many others on our CBC Manitoba Facebook page, the story of the Sydney Brick and Tile Company.